you so much for giving up this opportunity to be with you guys at the barbecue meeting. And thanks to Paul for giving me this present. Do you have Bibles, guys? Okay, so can you hold the Bible in chapter 18 into four parts, and each part we're going to talk about it. And the part of the sermon that is going to be. I need someone to read the first two verses for me. Can you hear me? Yes?
Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, and as he was sitting in the tent's door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground.
Okay. As you see, Abraham saw three people, three men. And he was in the tent, and once he saw them, he ran to them. And as you see, he ran from the tent of the door to them and bowed himself to the ground. Do you know those three men? Okay. Two angels and one? The Lord. Okay. This is one of the creation of the second hypostasis before incarnation. And it's important to know that. Even though he wasn't sure, Abraham at that time. But as you can see, that the way how he ran to them, he can feel his love and his care to see some strangers coming to him. And there is, in this passage, it talks about the friendship between the Lord himself and Abraham. So it's about the relationship between Abraham and the Lord and these three men. And there is some contemplation about this. As you see, he was at the door of the tent. Okay? And when he went to see them, he saw them at the heat of the day, correct? And also there is a tree. And you can see that when Abraham was outside the tent, means that he left behind all the pleasures and desires in the tent. So actually he is free. Who is free of the pleasures and desires. That's what is in the tent, this is for the pleasures and desires. So his soul was outside, meeting the Lord. And also, he met the Lord at midday and at the tree, correct? Does it give you any clue? So the tree here is the cross. And the midday, this is the sixth hour. So if we'd like to be like Abraham, meeting the Lord at the cross, this is the right place for us. I remember Abuna Chikin, he used to give us a spiritual exercise. He used to tell us, if you really, at the end of the day, you really need to get closer to God and talk to Him, get a cross and look at it and contemplate for 10 minutes. This is the time for you to meet the Lord and to be a good friend to Him. So the relationship between Abraham and the Lord, of course, he was a friend of the Lord and a friend of God. But there's a point for me. For a time for me, the perfect time when I meet the Lord, I meet the Lord at the cross. Which means to me, any hardship or any difficulty in my life, this is the time for me I can see God in front of me. And you feel how Abraham, he welcomed the three strangers like around. He didn't get scared or afraid that he was in the tent and three men he didn't know anything about them. But actually he ran to them once he saw them. So he had some kind of receptors to feel God's presence. So for us as well, we need to develop these receptors. And so we'll have good reception. So we'll be able to meet the Lord and talk to Him. So this is the first part. The other thing as well, in Jewish tradition, they said, this is from chapter 17, that Abraham was circumcised. They said that this happened after 3 days. So the Lord came to the world to heal him. That's the Jewish tradition. But actually, the circumcision is a symbolism of baptism. This is the covenant between God and man. And this is a relationship or a friendship between Abraham and the Lord. So the same thing for us as Christians. We would have the relationship or the friendship between us and God after we get baptized. And once we get baptized, we can develop that friendship. Without baptism, we can't have the friendship. And after 3 days, this is the symbolism of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They say as well that you know, that tree was at the place it's called memory, which is in Hebrews insight. So the Lord has given Abraham the insight to see Him, the spiritual sight. So God Himself enlightens our eyes and our minds and our hearts to see Him. I think many people, they have, I would say, an experience to see God somehow. Some of the monks and nuns, when they go out, they see God in nature. They love to walk in the desert. And I remember in the 40 days when I was in Egypt, and I'm sure they, many monks at sunset, they go outside and they walk by themselves, not with anyone, but themselves. Trying to search for God. Try to feel that I can see you. Other people as well can see God in certain situations or events. In a problem, for example, when I'm not able to see God, but I can see God's hands in this problem. Or in, for example, in illness, when medicine says, I cannot do anything, God can do lots of things, and I can see God's hands in the illness. So it's really important for us to train ourselves to see God and to see His hands. And I can acknowledge His works and deeds for me and for others as well. And this is will help me to develop that personal relationship between me and God. So Abraham was a good friend for the Lord. And you can see at the end how he was a good friend. So this is the first part. The second passage we need to read is from verses 3 to 5. Who wants to read that? For free, no charge. Yes.
And said, My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as he has said.
Look, guys, you can see here how you feel that Abraham is so welcoming, especially welcoming the strangers. And you can feel as well he was dreaming, right? You can feel that he was so dreaming. He ran to them and asked them to, if you have favor on your side, on your eyes, please stay and I'll offer you such and such and such. Usually these days, we have the opposite, right? If you see some people around, who is that guy, that fellow, is around here? Who brought him here? But in Abraham's days, it was much more difficult as well, because they are strangers. Usually they know everyone in the village or everyone in the area. But for him to go outside his comfort zone, to run to them, and then to offer all these things, made Abraham so special.
Why does he say my Lord
with
three of them? Does he know that it's God?
Look, I would like to open Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. This is the answer. Okay. Okay, can you read?
Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Okay. So actually, he was talking about who? About Abraham. So in the beginning, he didn't know. Right? But later on, like now, he knew that God's presence for sure. And that's why he addressed him, Lord. And it's important to for him in the beginning not to know. Because if he was doing all of that and he knew from the beginning that he was the Lord, that's at least issue. And we've done all of that, correct? But he didn't know in the beginning. Okay, but he discovered that with himself. Right? And as you see here, he did a few things very touching. When he saw them, he said to them, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. So, but let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And before that, he bowed before him. The same process, he says, the mystery of knowing the secrets is humility.
Is what, sir?
Humility. So bowing down before him made him so humble and showed him his love and his longing and desire for him to stay. That's all the mystery of knowing the mysteries. And this is really important. And also, it showed as well the generosity of Abraham, correct? And usually if you read that word, if I have now found favor in your sight, care for me, son. This is really pleasurable. As if like he's begging him, please accept what I'm going to do. And you can feel that, you know, Abraham felt something so special about him. And that's why St. Macarius has a very nice saying. He said, Abraham actually didn't welcome the Lord in his tent, but he did welcome him in his heart. Because the heart is the palace to welcome the Lord. So it's really important every time when I'm in touch with the Lord. Lord, you have a palace. That's my heart. I need you to come and enter in that palace. And I offer you many, many things. And then the other church fathers, they said, oh, okay, the tent here, it could be the paradise. And your heart now is going to be the paradise. So you offer trees around, you offer fruits. And they said that these trees are ourselves. And the fruits here are free will to do what is right by the Lord, to please Him. So it's really important to see how Abraham was so welcoming. And you can feel straight away when you go and visit someone if that person is so happy with your visit or not, correct? It's from the first few words. But actually, Abraham was so happy, so excited. And even he had turned that desire to the Lord for him to stay. And he's going to look after him. Okay? And this is very, very nice. I don't think the Lord will need anything from us. But what he needs from us is our heart. Is our heart. So your heart is a palace for him. Is a palace for him. At the same time, when he offered little water to be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Again, St. Ambrosius, he said, this is a mystery of humility, is to wash the transgressions of others, and by doing so, you wash your own transgressions. So it's very important to do this, is to wash the feet of others, which means the transgressions. The things that we have done wrong to you, when I wash them, okay, that means I wash myself as well. And Abraham was really a role model to all of us by doing this. And remember, if I made a link between what happened from Abraham and what happened from the Lord on the Last Supper, when he washed the feet of the disciples. Can you see the link now? So it became now one of the ritual things that we do in the church on Holy Thursday. And it's really nice. I used to have a friend of mine in Alexandria. He loves that day. He goes to an Upshore Monastery. You know why? Because Pope Shunai used to wash the feet of all people. So they said, ah, Pope Shunai will wash my feet. That's why he was so happy. Imagine the Lord himself has done this to you, has touched your feet, and has washed you in and out. That's a great blessing. And we receive this in many ways. In baptism we receive it. In any La'an service we receive it. And even when Abuna comes to the house and hands up like, our water and prays on it, that's gives you also a blessing and purification. And that's why the La'an water is very, very important. I need to receive it to cleanse myself in and out. So what happened from Abraham actually, it's a sign of love and a sign of generosity and a sign of welcoming those people. But to me, I need to do the same thing to the Lord. I need to search for Him And when he so far ran to him, and I asked him for him to stay with me. And once the Lord feels that desire, for sure he will come. But make sure that your heart is a proper place for him, is a palace for him. This is section number two. Section number three, we are going to read from verses 6 to 8. This, can you read?
So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, make ready 3 measures of fine meal and eat it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to a young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate.
Okay. Now, there's a key word in these 2 verses. What is the key word?
Hurried.
Hurried. Okay. Excellent. He has done everything quickly. He didn't have the time. You know, when you like to do things like quickly, it's a sign of commitment and dedication, but also it's a sign of joy. So he is serving the Lord with joy. He was not reluctant or lazy. He has done it quickly. And not only him. Who else? Sarah? And who else? The young men, the servant. All of them, they've done such a they have done such a wonderful and good work and job to prepare everything. I'm quite sure that he didn't have, like, you know, any minute to spare to think about anything. But actually, he has put all his emotions, all his effort, all, like, you know, his energy is to serve the Lord. Oregon, he said something very nice. He said, "There is no laziness in the house of the wise." As commenting, this is from the Bible, commenting on Abraham's house. He said that, you know, all of them, they ran. Everything was done quickly to make, you know, the perfect service for the Lord. Guess what? When we do serve the Lord, I'm always late. I'm always having struggled to manage my time. I do feel that I have lots of things in my mind and I cannot manage my time. Maybe this is true. Maybe the solution is to restrict your service to certain things that you commit to. But here he's not talking about the quantity, he's talking about the quality. While I'm doing the service, I'm doing it with joy, longing, desire, love. And this is really important. But as you see, Abraham went outside the tent. But it wasn't mentioned that Sarah was outside, correct? The church fathers commented about this. Abraham was a symbolism of the soul or the spirit, but Sarah was responsible for the flesh. And the younger man, the servant, is responsible. He's a symbolism of the talents and gifts that God has given us. But the three of them, they made a perfect match to serve the Lord. Perfect match. So, I have a spirit, I have a flesh, and I have talents God has given me. The three of them working together in harmony for me to be able to serve the Lord. And the one who is outside the tent is Abraham. And again, he had shown a sign of humility. When he stood there while they ate. He was a servant. He didn't leave them. Usually, by the way, guys, in the past, if anyone, a stranger or a visitor or a woman of the relatives, they used to come, they leave the food and they leave the room for them. If anyone from Upper Egypt, they can know that. Because this is what they can eat by themselves. Even in the monastery as well, they do that. But Abraham didn't leave the Lord. He stood up there, waiting for anything to serve the Lord. And this gives us more to acknowledge that we need to make sure that that service is perfectly done or fulfill its own goal. But giving the service and doing what I should be doing, and I leave it, this is not the right way. It's for the church fathers, this is called follow up. That I have to follow up every service to the end. And I need to make a good service there by knowing everything from A to Z. So Abraham, out of his humility, he was sitting there while they were eating to serve them again and again and again until the service is perfect or completed. So, and this is again one of the signs of care, one of the signs of humility, one of the signs of love, one of the signs of care. Remember when he asked Sarah to make how many cakes? Three, correct? Why? Because there are three. The church fathers, they said, this is actually representing the three important things: faith, hope, and love. And the way how we receive from the Lord, we have to offer this every time. So the church fathers would say, okay, when Christ wants something to offer to him, we can offer to him these three virtues in the lives of the Christians. So guys, as you are the future of the church, what the church fathers have implemented in their ministry union is to produce these three virtues: faith, love, and hope, or faith, hope, and love. Why? Because this is actually the three virtues. They will be pleasing to the Lord when we receive the Holy Spirit. So until we have a strong faith in Christ. And then when we develop the strong hope to overcome all the challenges and obstacles in front of us. And when we set as a role model and a good example of love, that's the only way I will be able to meet the bosom of the Father. Because love is important. Can you see there's three important virtues for you to have? These ones. And this is in your life. So what do you, the bread you're going to offer, or the cakes that you're going to offer to the Lord, is 3 months. You need to have a strong faith and a firm hope and a pure love to the Lord. Also, if you know that how Sarah made the cake, that bread, how? How? Sorry? Yeah. Number one, from fine fine means very, very good quality. Flour, but it's not about that. Only how she made that. How she cooked it. Sorry? How?
She made it.
Yeah. And what will the Mishnah do? Big power. Usually, in the past, they don't have that, to, like, you know, good. But usually, they got a stone, and they heated the stone with coal or charcoal. Okay, they heated the stone, and they put, you know, this is on top of it. And, yeah, like that one. Okay, so what happens here, so that bread is cooked under heat, which is a symbolism of the pain and suffering. So actually, through, you know, this bread or this cake, I can have fellowship between me and Christ through that his pain and suffering. So it's really important. Because having, like, you know, a meal with Christ, it's very, very nice, very touching to have a fellowship. And this is, again, not a sign of friendship only. This is a sign of fellowship and communion between me and God. So every time when I have a fellowship and communion between me and God, I have to prepare myself through the pain and suffering, through the heat of this pain and suffering. And this is really important. So it could be this pain and suffering for myself, or it could be by carrying the pain and sufferings of someone else. When I feel someone is in pain, I'm in pain too. When someone is ill or sick, I pray and do matanias because I feel for him or her. This is the pain and suffering. I can have fellowship and communion between me and Christ. Without that pain and suffering, I'll never value this fellowship and communion. For this reason, you can see the martyrs, when they suffer for Christ, they develop such a great fellowship between them and Christ. And the same thing for us as Christians, when I struggle against the sin, I develop that pain, that fellowship and communion between me and Christ. I can feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. Why? Because I'm trying to struggle against something really not in my nature. And the Lord helps me. So it's always a relationship between me and Christ. But actually, to have that, we need to know what, like, you know, the other factors might help me to reach that level. So it's really important for me to feel that. The fourth part, which is from verses 9 to 15. Can anyone read?
And they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" So he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely grow a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh, for she was afraid." And he said, "No, but you did laugh."
Now, here it comes a very important thing, that this is something for Sarah. Why for Sarah, not for Abraham? Because last chapter, okay, God himself told Abraham about that, right? And as you see that Sarah was inside the tent and Abraham was outside. Again, as I said to you, Abraham is representing, you know, the spirit or the soul. And Sarah is representing the flesh. So Abraham is outside leading the flesh, not the flesh leading the soul. This is one of the contemplations of the church fathers. So always, for us as Christians, our flesh is submitting to the spirit, or subject to the spirit. It's really important, not the opposite. If you do the opposite, we'll be directing into a wrong direction. And again, he told, when he asked about Sarah, and then he said what's going to happen. What is going to happen? Something very, very important. About Sarah giving birth to a son. He was talking about Isaac. And then Sarah laughed. Correct? Okay, why she laughed? And I would like to know last chapter, okay, and what you went through it. When God told Abraham about that, he laughed as well. But here, the Lord made a comment about her, and he confronted her somehow, right? Why she laughed, and what the comparison between when she laughed and when Abraham laughed. Thank you.
Last week they said Abraham did not come without a war. It wasn't out of disbelief, it was out of confidence. He was like that God was actually giving the child up all the time to the father. Like the hands started out of disbelief.
Okay, that's true. Okay, Abraham laughed last chapter because he was surprised. And he thanked the Lord, that's why he failed him. When I fell down, I thank the Lord. This is the sign I have to thank someone. So, like, he was surprised. And he said, that's, like, you know, that's great. Okay, and then he fell down and he thanked the Lord. How about Sarah? Usually if something so strange, or some people they do comment about things, and then they said, like, well, when you confront them, they, oh, no, I didn't, okay? But actually she did, okay? She laughed, like, you know, here some Clement of Alexandria said she laughed because she was so shy about that fact. But St. Augustine said she laughed because she was so happy and her heart was full of joy, but her faith was not that complete. So we have two explanations here. Either way, she laughed. But the Lord, like, you know, said, you did laugh. She said, I didn't. Why? Because that was in her heart. And she felt like, you know, I'm shocked. I'm about 90 years old and I'll never be able to give birth to anyone. But as you see, this is really, really important. The idea about these guys, it's really important to feel that nothing is impossible with God. And especially when the Lord has promised Abraham and Sarah about that son, they call Isaac the son of promise. And the meaning of Isaac means a love. Or a laughter. So it's really important to know that God always works in hard situations, in difficult times. When I feel anything, like, you know, for me wouldn't be possible at all, I can feel God's hands in my life and my life of others to make it possible. And you need to know that, how powerful he is. And this is something for you to experience. So Abraham and Sarah had that personal experience with God, even though they did have it before, but it's a bit more and more. And still, the scenario hasn't finished yet. Still, like, you know, you go to chapter 22 and you'll feel more and more why God has given Isaac. It's a great mystery, because out of Isaac's descendants, Christ himself will come. And this is such a great thing for anyone. So it's really important from this one to feel that God can give us many promises in our life. But the Bible full of many promises to you. What you need to do, you don't need to laugh at that one, but to believe inside it with joy. You know, there are many people, when they go through difficult situations, when they hear the word of God as a promise, they thank the Lord for it. I remember someone who was really, really upset last couple of weeks, and he said to me, after we read the Bible, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I got the answer. It's the promise from the Lord. The word of God did comfort him, and he felt, you know, this is a promise from you, Lord, to me personally. So we need to have a personalization with God. When I read the Bible, I read it as for academic purposes, for explanation. That's very good commentaries, very, very good. But have the personal dealings and personal experience between you and God. Many people, they have God as just a knowledge, but actually it's not a life. The Lord, he said to the disciples, the words that I have spoken to you is the truth and life, or life and spirit. So it's really important, like, you know, to have that in your life, to believe in it, because the word of God is the truth, or he is the truth, and also whatever I receive from him, spirit and life. So from here, you need to develop that personal relationship with the word of God, to feel the promise in your life. And then the last part, okay, we're going to read from verse 16 to the end of that chapter, and this is a dialogue with God. A very nice devil. Who wants to read?
Down there. So he said, I will I will not do it for the purpose of the fortune. Then they said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Verse 30 will be there, found it. So he said, I will not do it the one birthday. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose that he should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for my sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, but once more, suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went on his way as soon as he found, as he finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place.
Glory be to God forever and ever. This is very nice dialogue between Abraham and God. And you can see that Abraham has given us more qualities that we didn't know about him as well. But I would like to stop at certain things. Why the Lord wanted to tell Abraham what he was doing. He shouldn't have, correct? Why? Okay, can we go to Amos chapter 3, verse 7?
Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets.
Okay. So the Lord does nothing except he reveals his secrets to
his servants and prophets.
His servants, the prophets. Which means that the Lord is so close to certain people that he reveals secrets to them. I will give it to you in a very common thing. Like Bob Crawley's. Can you tell, he was so close to the Lord, for the Lord himself told him many secrets and many things. Abuna Minana Matala, maybe you didn't see him. He was the first priest to serve in Sydney. He told me how he came here to Australia, and how the Pope Crawlis himself, he told him one word, because people here sent to the Pope and wanted a priest. And then he ordained Abuna Mina, and he said to him, you're going to go to Australia, to Sydney. He said to him, how come I'm still in the army? And it was like a war between Egypt and Israel. And it was a very, very difficult for any soldier or an officer to leave the army at that time. And he said to him, go and put, the application, and that's it. And he went and has done it, and nothing happened to him. And he got the approval, and he came. How did he know that this is going to work? Because usually it didn't work to many, many people before. So it's really important to feel that certain people, they know the secrets. And Abraham was so close to the Lord that the Lord himself revealed that secret to him. Okay? So if you are so close to the Lord, many secrets will be revealed. One of the secrets you need to develop, guys, is not to know about what's going to happen in the future. To know the secrets of the Bible. I remember Abuna Tadrusa of Malati, he loves the Bible so much, and he almost covered all the Bible commentaries in all the books. And he has an open door or a gate in the Bible. And Abuna Sidarus told me that Abunabshoi came. He said to him before his departure that God has opened for me a door in the Bible to learn mysteries, to make the link between what we read in the Old Testament and what we read in the New Testament. Guys, it's easy now through the internet to make a link, but you need to personally to find that link by yourself, to make a relationship or a connection between what happened in the past and what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future. Believe me, guys, the Bible is full of mysteries and secrets. But God can reveal to his servants, and you are his servants. Read more, try to search more, not only for knowledge, but for your own personal life. And God will reveal these secrets to you. The second part, I need you to tell me that. In verse 20, it says, "And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave." The outcry of who? Or from who exactly? Because in the dialogue between Abraham and the Lord, they were searching for 10 people. And the two cities would be saved. But they couldn't find, correct? Yes or no? Yes. So who was crying out? The outcry of who? The church fathers, they had such a great contemplation. They said that the sins themselves, they outcrying from those people, from humans, they have done this. Or even the two cities, you know, for the nature, even itself, cried out because of the wrong usage of man to these two cities. Imagine the sins themselves are crying out, and even the two cities are crying out. Because man himself, he loved that sin, so no one else is going to cry out, correct? So all gone. So who was crying out? And the Lord, out of his justice and righteousness, he said, "I'm going to go down and look," as if he didn't know. No, of course, he knew everything. But to give us that he wants to make sure, he wants to investigate by himself, that he's going down to see all these things by himself. And that's very, very nice that you can feel God's justice in your life as well. When I committed a sin, God knows what I have committed, and God will repay me according to what I've done, if it's good or bad. This is something for you to be comforted as well. You need to know that the two words that Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom means burning, and Gomorrah means a flood. So the one who is living in that sin, actually, he is burned by it, and also he's drowning in it. And you can tell that when someone is living the life of sinful way, that he is burning by that life, or he's drowning in a sin that he's not able to be saved or to save himself. Correct? So for us as Christians, we are so cautious about that we don't want any sin to overcome us or to prevail and to be victorious over us. We need to go into a battle with the sin, like, you know, with a power above that sin. And we don't have any power above that sin except the Holy Spirit in us to quench, you know, and that burden, and also to save us from the drowning in that sea. That's why the Holy Spirit works in us for us to repent, to feel like, you know, every time when you go through that path, the Holy Spirit will save me from it through condemning that sin in me and working on my conscience to be able to overcome that sin. I'm quite sure you know what was a sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, but I'm not going to go in that path. Okay. Do you know that? Yes, okay. So it's really important for us. The last bit, which is really important, how Abraham has developed a very kind heart to intercede on the behalf of sinful people. Don't you think, like Abraham, like, and has heard about these cities and stuff? He knew them, and he knew that they are very bad people, very sinful people, but he interceded for them. Sometimes, guys, when we feel someone is, you know, receiving any kind of injustice in any way, sometimes we feel sympathetic with him. Great. And you have that right, okay, of course. But to be sympathetic with someone has done wrong and he's sinful, not many people do that, but Abraham did. And that's why Abraham was a great thing. He's a great father, but the father of many multitudes, because he felt for everyone as a man. And we need to develop that in our spiritual life as well. I need to develop that when my friend or my colleague or my anyone around, even if he's not Christian, has done anything wrong, I can intercede before the Lord. I remember back then in the 90s, Abu Natadrisa Umaladi, he came and he spent with us in the church in the Nehruz, like next morning. And we used to stay over the night in St. Mary's Church. And he came to pray the Mass in the morning, and after the, the Vespers and stuff. We have what's called absolution for the priests. Priest absolution Dagbe, and he prayed that one, and he started to develop to say a personal prayer. You don't understand. We didn't record it, unfortunately, but the whole prayer is talking about, he's praying to the Lord for the Lord to have compassion and mercy about non-Christians, those people they don't know you, Lord. He prayed the whole prayer for about 15-20 minutes just for people we don't know. And he mentioned, all the categories of people that they don't know you. To be honest, it was a good lesson to me, even though we pray for them. But he focused all the prayers, all his prayer for them. And this is really important for us. This is exactly what Abraham did. He interceded before the Lord for those people. We think they are sinful, we think they don't deserve life, we think they deserve punishment. But he prayed for those people and he asked the Lord. But the deal, actually, God was really, he was right. But at the same time, you can see God's kindness and mercy for those people, they intercede for others. So the Lord, wanted to have a compromise with Abraham. Started with 50 and then 45 and then and go down to 10. That means God is so, so kind, even he was willing to forgive the sins for small number of righteous people. How about you, if you make yourself in this small number? How about if I say in my city, in Sydney, I'll be one of the small members. I'll intercede on the behalf of others, and I'll work hard to make sure that God will listen to me. And this is really important, because sometimes we don't feel this is our responsibility. I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for myself if I can. But actually, from here, you need to know that as Christians, we need to be responsible for everyone around you, your entire family. Like an intimate family, you are responsible for them. And your relatives, that's another category. And then your friends, and then your colleagues, and then those people you meet every day in the train or on the bus when you go to uni or to work. And then those people, even you don't know, you are responsible. So you have the responsibility towards them, and we need to intercede on their behalf as well. Maybe God will have mercy upon them one day. And God will be very happy to hear your prayers for them. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.
of when it disappears. We're not going to get him again after this week, so any questions, please direct them to Abuna quickly before he goes. Must be some question. Thank you. Abuna, there's a question for you. Ask it, and then he'll hear it from me.
Do you think God would have saved the city for the sake of one?
Abuna went.
But the deal was 10, correct? So, by the way, there was one, because Lot was there, okay, and his family, but they didn't make the right number, okay? So, and that's why the two angels went. If you read in chapter number 19, they went and they took them out, okay? So, but that's the deal, okay? For sure, God has, we don't know what, his wisdom is about things, but you never know. God has got his own judgment, and correct? So we do our best in any situation, and we leave the rest for God's judgment and righteousness. Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much.
Any other questions before he goes? He's about to rush out. Thank you so much. It was a great gift to have you with us. Thank you. All right, so we'll stand up for prayer.
Say a quick praise to Saint Virgin Saint Mary. The feast was on last Saturday, so all together. Each and every one of us. We thank you, dear Lord, for uniting us in your holy name today and tonight to hear the wonderful words from our beloved Father, Abuna Michei, that came and spoke to us about the beautiful relationship that we can have with you, dear Lord, and taught us how intimate and how much love you have for us and how special each and every one of us are to you. We ask you, Lord, that you fill our hearts with much peace and love and remind us each and every day of how precious we are to you. We ask this to the intercession of St. Mary, your mother, Amba Brahm, St. Damiana, Pope Krolos, and all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Hear us, Lord, when we call upon you in one voice, thankfully saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and in the name of the Lord, 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 and in the name of the L Yeah, that's Sarah's. So is that yours?
Oh, yes, thank you. Oh, yes, please. That would be great.